Going to just start off by talking about the Stirls. 3 weeks ago we were at the Stirls. What a great camp that is. We get to see the stars at night is one of the highlights, and I want to just mention that because it's so nice to see the stars shining. Now this last Stirls camp wasn't the best for that because we had a bit of cloud cover and the moon was shining, but I don't forget last year when we had no moonlight and we had a very clear sky, very clear atmosphere, and I tell you what, the Milky Way was just bright. Brilliantly bright. It was just incredible. The stars were really shining brightly. And the reason I start off with that illustration this morning is because it's just a really important thing for us to understand that if we have come to Jesus, the three C's, if we've come to Jesus, if we've called on him to save us, if we've committed our life to follow him as Bob did when you're 17, I did it when I was 18, one of the great pictures that we're meant to have burning in our mind and our heart is we are to be like shining stars. We are meant to be shining like those stars in the darkness, shining the glory of Christ and shining to the world that they might come to know Christ. That's how it's meant to be. And did you pick that up in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3? There it was, Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. There's a great picture. Are you a star shining in the darkness? Does that characterise your life? And you ought to be aware that our Lord Jesus, he taught us these things. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, he says just a few words. You are the light of the world. Verse 16. Let your light shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And even the Apostle Paul mentioned this too. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as stars in the universe. There it is, in prophecy, in the words of Jesus, in the words of the Apostle Paul, big picture, every Christian is to view themselves as a star shining in the darkness. So my question to you today is, are you like that? Well, that's just a bit of an intro, and we're going to now launch into Daniel chapter 12, 1 to 4. It's very different to what we saw last week in Daniel 11. That's a big chapter with much detailed prophecy concerning 500 years of history from 537 BC, when Daniel received that prophecy, all the way to 27 AD, the rise of the Roman Empire. Today, we're looking at only at four verses, and I believe these verses are speaking about the time of Christ coming into the world for the first time and the beginning of the church age. And of course, there's very strong parallels here to also the second coming of Christ as well. All right, so let's get into it. And when I think about God, before I read chapter 12, verse 1, I'm just conscious in chapter 11, we get to read about the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire became the most terrifying, powerful empire. And Daniel gets to see that in Daniel 11. And yet God used the Roman Empire to do some amazing things. So first of all, there's the Pax Romana, which means peace. And there was also the Greek language becoming the universal language. And then the Romans were crazy in building roads everywhere, roads everywhere. Do you know that God was behind all that? Why would God be bringing this about through the Roman Empire? Because his son's about to come. And he wanted all roads open and a time of peace for Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection and the gospel, the glorious gospel, to expand rapidly through the whole world. God is in control. He had everything perfectly worked out for the first coming of Jesus. And friends, that's the same for the second coming. Everything you see in history, everything you see right now, everything in Israel is all about God planning everything perfectly to fulfill every prophecy for the glorious return of Jesus. That's the eyes you need to have to see things right. So when I think of this time God had prepared, it's all going to be coming to a time of delight. What a time of delight is going to be when Jesus comes. But in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, I don't read about a time of delight. There's something else that Daniel gets to see. So let me read Daniel chapter 12 verse 1. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. So the big question is, we read here about a time of distress. What time of distress is this? Are many people, many Christians, hold to it being the time of distress when it comes to the second coming of Christ? But if you actually follow Daniel chapter 11 into Daniel chapter 12, there's probably something else that is standing out to us, and that is this time of distress being mentioned here actually isn't the second coming of Christ. It's actually after the first coming of Christ. What is Daniel seeing? And in fact, what does Jesus prophesy about in the Gospels? Let me read to you in Mark chapter 13. We read about the disciples see all the magnificent temple buildings. Do you remember this part? And in Mark chapter 13, Jesus says to them in verse 2, "Do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another which will not be torn down." And there is a combination after that when the disciples said, "What do you mean by that?" There's a combination of Jesus speaking about his second coming, but also something else that would happen not far from the time of Jesus. We know it to be the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. That is when that the temple and Jerusalem would be desecrated and destroyed. And that's what Jesus says in Mark chapter 13, verse 14. We read, "When you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." Verse 19, "For those days will be a time of tribulation or distress, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the creation which God created until now and never shall be." Now, did you pick up that those words of Jesus are so parallel to what we read in Daniel chapter 12 verse 1? How do you feel about that? Isn't that amazing? Because the heavenly being who I believe is Jesus speaking to Daniel in Daniel 11 and 12 is sharing about this important event, a time of great distress, a time when a million Jews would be killed, a time when the temple would be completely destroyed, when Jerusalem would be levelled, a time of great distress never ever seen before. And so this is what happened in 70 AD. History tells us this is what happened. And yet in Daniel chapter 12 verse 1, in this time of distress, there's something amazing. I want to use two R words. There's reprieve and there's rescue. Now the reprieve comes through Michael, who's guarding, he's the archangel, guarding the Jewish people. And in Mark chapter 13 verse 20, Jesus speaks a little bit more about it. "Unless the Lord had shortened those days, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened those days." And so God's in control. He allowed that time of distress not to be too long. He didn't allow the Jewish people to be completely destroyed. Because God's in control. And he gives reprieve. He knows that. But not only that, in Daniel chapter 12 verse 1 we read about rescue. There are people who are rescued. Jewish people who are rescued from that time of distress. And do you know that's what happened? Because Christians, followers of Jesus, knew from Jesus' own lips that when you see things happening in Jerusalem, what's the word? Flee. And so they fled. And they weren't caught up in the disaster, in that time of distress. Jesus speaks of it further in Mark 13. It's very, very terrible what happens. But Christians fled. And who specifically fled? People who were found written in the book. Which book is that one? Bob, you mentioned it this morning. What book is it? The book of life. Or more fully, the Lamb's book of life.
And so those who were Christians, they knew what was happening. Jesus had told them to flee, those in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they weren't there in Jerusalem when the Romans came and destroyed the city. But you know, that's just a picture. There's a powerful picture here. If we're in the Lamb's Book of Life, we get rescued, not just from destruction, from world forces, we get rescued from judgment and condemnation and everlasting destruction. Hallelujah! How good it is to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. So if we're in the book, we'll be okay in any time of distress. And now I'm going to read Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt." Now, just to point out, that phrase in the middle of that verse, everlasting life, is only found in the Old Testament here. It's very unique. That makes this verse very special. In the New Testament, everlasting life is seen often. But here, in the whole Old Testament, this is the only place where it's found. A little bit of background. In Daniel's day, in all the Old Testament period, we have to remember that everybody, whether you are a believer, clothed with the righteousness of God by faith, or whether you were some horrible person, a wicked person, everybody went to the abode of the dead. Hades, that's the Greek word, or Sheol. But what we read here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 is different. Something changes. Daniel is seeing into the future and he sees something changes. Do you know what changed? When did that change occur? When was it the case when people no longer slept in the dust of the ground, but they arose to inherit and enjoy eternal life? I know only one event where that happened. And that was when Jesus died for our sins and rose again. He changed it. We know that very moment he died, dying for our sins, things changed. Even the thief on the cross, the repentant thief on the cross, experienced that. He wasn't going into the dust of the earth. He was going home to heaven, to paradise. And I love these words, which are mysterious. In Matthew chapter 27, we read in verses 52 and 53, right at the moment of Jesus' death. "And the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised," you know, from the dust. "And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many." I love that because it just shows you that Jesus, when he died for us, you should have, if only we had eyes to see the spiritual realm, he is shaking everything around and everything is changing. And what's the benefit of this to us as we live in the 21st century? We know, all because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we do not, when we die, go into the dust of the earth. Our body, soul and spirit do not go into the dust of the earth. We know that our body does, but our soul and spirit rise to glory. Isn't that great? And Daniel got to see this. He got to see that time of distinction. If you know Jesus, you go straight home to heaven. If you don't know Jesus, then you go to Hades. Just a few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. "To be absent from the body is to be home with the Lord." Amen. And John chapter 11, Jesus' own words in verses 25 and 26. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." I just love it how in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, it just amazes me, Daniel gets to see that change. It's a huge change from the Old Testament period. Can't help but say, wow. And we get to see it in the New Testament. Praise God for that. So there's a time of distinction. I want to just highlight this now, right now for all of us. If we should die right now, a distinction is made between all... between us. They're the group of people who will immediately ascend to heaven. Their soul and spirit will be with Jesus, with God the Father. There's another group of people who will go to Hades and await judgment. And as it said in verse 2, they will be awaiting disgrace and eternal contempt, eternal judgment. And where we go, I hope you all know this, is all dependent upon whether we know Jesus or not. It's as simple as that. Do I know Jesus? Do I love Jesus? Do I trust in him? Or do I push him away? Or do I just keep him on the side there? Then I'm going to Hades and I'll be awaiting judgment. This is a period of time of distress as well as a time of distinction. But now I'm going to read verses 3 and 4 and we'll finish on them. Verses 3 and 4 of Daniel 12 says, "Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase." So I love this last bit. This last bit tells me something so important. Pretty much my summary of it would be wise. Be wise. This right now, Daniel could see it, this time right now is a time of decision. A time of decision. Daniel is seeing what the impact of Christ coming into the world and the start of the church age before the glorious return of Christ. This is a time of decision. We all are blessed with a free will. We can choose freely. But we want to make a wise choice in our free will. And this is where wisdom comes in. You are the wisest person in all the world if you do this right choice. What's this right choice? Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. The Jesus who was the only one who fulfilled the prophecies of him in the Old Testament. The only one by far. No one gets even close. The only one who died on the cross for your sins. No one else died for you. He did. The only one who rose from the dead. Daniel is seeing this special time we call the church age. He's seeing this time of decision. What will people do? Will they be wise? Will they have that insight? Will they use their free will to choose Jesus? Or will they not? And if they're not going to choose Jesus, they will perish. They won't enjoy heaven. They'll go to hell. But for those who do, and I trust everyone here has, and I know some of you haven't yet, but I trust you will, for those who do turn to Jesus and who are wise, what does it say about you? It says that you're going to shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and you'll be leading many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. I love that picture language. So we are, if we know Jesus, we're to be, back to how I began, we're to be like a star shining in the darkness. Because I have been blessed to come to know Jesus, who is the light of the world, I am to shine his light. And I'm to shine his light for his glory, and I'm to shine his light so that other people can be drawn to him. That's what it's all about. He wants you to be a light, shining in the darkness. And yes, we go through times of distress. A time of distinction has been made now if we are in Jesus. And this is a very important time of decision. This is a time to decide for Jesus. And two S words to finish with, to stand for him and to shine him. And we're going to be tested out. We're going to go into another time of great distress. Daniel 12 was also foreshadowing the second coming of Christ too. But stand for Jesus and shine him. Right, we're going to sing our last song. Our last song is "Here We Stand." Just reading the verse. "Here we stand, the church of the redeemed, ransomed by the blood that sets us free. From the darkness brought into the light, enemies of God now his delight." Let's stand and sing this beautiful song together.
Church of the redeemed, ransomed.
worship, they're redeemed.
Amen.
Redeemed by the blood of Christ.
Let's come and pray. Now, Father, thank you for those four verses of Daniel chapter 12. We come right near the end of Daniel. And Daniel gets to see, not on the side before Christ came, but now after Christ came. How exciting it was to look at those verses, just given to him 500 plus years before they even happened. He could see the change occurring. Time of distress, but time of distinction. We now go home to be with you if we're in your Son. And Lord, a time of decision. And we know in our world right now, my heart really, really, sometimes just really hurts, Lord, as I see the majority of our world have chosen wrongly. They've chosen against Jesus. They hate him more and more and want to hurt him. And Lord, if we are yours, we are so blessed. May we be encouraged. We're so blessed. We are the most blessed in the world. We are your lights. We are to shine your light. Help us to live up to that, to stand for you and to shine Jesus in our world in the hope of glorifying you and the joy of seeing others come into that light. Lord, thank you that for us it's all going to end well. We know that we one day will be in glory before your throne. And we thank you for all that Jesus has done for us. Amen. In his great love. He hasn't just saved our soul. He will raise our bodies up. He has a place for us in the Father's house, your house. We thank you so much for our dear brother and friend and companion, the lover of our soul, the Saviour, the King of glory. Thank you for him. I am so blessed to know you, Jesus, and thank you for all here who do. Thank you for saving us. And we pray for any amongst us who aren't there yet, that they would come and choose Jesus even today. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.